Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for today's camp notes for 8-12-24. The Ravens back at it on Tuesday for the second day of practices after the game with the Eagles. Most pleasant day of camp to date in terms of the weather. The temperature was not overbearing. The sun was not blistering. And just a nice day to watch football. One field of 11-on-11 going on. We got a big list of injury news for you here. So we're going to take some time going through this and getting it right. Absent from the practice, Rakeeton Mitchell, still out on PUP with the knee injury and recovery from that. Tyler Linderbaum out since early August now with a neck injury. They're being very careful. They're being very slow bringing him back. They're giving a lot of chances to other players at center because of this. We talked about on the offensive pod that it really is – allowing the Ravens to defer their selection of their starting guards because they're having Cleveland play some guard some center now instead of competing with Falele for the right guard or even competing with Voorhees, say. Since they're getting to defer that, it's actually a benefit to them. Harbaugh's made the point that Linderbaum doesn't really need the practice. I think he's probably correct, although I'm sure he doesn't want to go in cold into the season in terms of at least having some practice before then. Arthur Mollett is still out. That's an injury that's probably going to cost him some of the season. We'll see how and when he comes back. I do expect him to be on one of the IR DTRable slots that are available for all teams now, not just the Ravens, who have always been clever about creating them this year. Anyway, Rasheen Ali, undisclosed. I don't know the nature of the injury. I assume it happened during the preseason game, but I don't know that for a fact. Russell Gage, also undisclosed. There is a rumor that he has a hamstring injury that I heard a couple of different reporters talking about it. I have not been able to verify that. Daryl Simpson, have not heard the reason for that. Chris Board is apparently in the concussion protocol. Quincy Roche, still don't know. He's been out for about a week now, and as far as I know, the actual injury has been undisclosed. Nate Wiggins, who we all saw get injured after a fantastic preseason debut, one of the really great ones in Ravens history. John Harbaugh is hoping he'll be back for week one, or at least that's what he's saying. Does not appear to be an injury that's going to cost him, you know, the whole season anyway, and hopefully doesn't cost him any time at all. Christian Matthew, no idea why he was gone today. And Sanusi Kane, also no idea on him. When you have this many injuries, it's always a potentially prickly topic to ask Harbaugh about injuries. And when there's this many, you probably don't want to do it. The Ravens are fortunate that they've avoided the most serious injuries of all. Now, we did have some people return or play on a limited basis. I'll talk through those very quickly. TJ Tampa, who's been out the entire camp on PUP, returned. It was his first day back. He did not, he dressed up. He did practice on a side field. He's not at a point where he's going to take reps in 11 on 11. I did not see him do any position drills, specific ones like one-on-ones either, but he was back on the field running and in full gear. Rashad Bateman was back, but the news is not all good there. He pulled up on the first one versus one rep and took himself out, begged out of the drill and was not seen again for the rest of practice. Now, he may have been on the sideline, but he wasn't entered for any individual play or any 11 on 11 after that. So unfortunate. Hopefully he's back soon. Trayvon Mullen, a name we have not mentioned in a while, number 30 in uniform, working out on a side field. Good to see that as well, obviously. And then the best news of all, Kyle Hamilton was not in uniform, but he was on the side field running. And this is a case even Chad Steele came over to a group of the reporters and said, can you please tweet out that Kyle Hamilton's back and running on the side so we don't get some rumor started that you know, he's going to miss the whole season or this or that. And it's interesting, but it does really seem like the Ravens understand the value of the media telling you about things. And Chad was good about coming over and asking people to tweet that out. Unrestricted free agent wide receiver Anthony Miller was signed yesterday. He was at practice today. He may have been at practice yesterday. Actually, I was still in my writing from the Eagles game, finishing that up and the pods. But he was there today, certainly wearing number 5, a second round pick in 2018 of the Chicago Bears. Had 134 receptions with the Bears, all from 2018 to 20. Since then, that's 21, 22, and 23, a 3-year period. He's had 6 total receptions, all in 21 with Houston and Pittsburgh. He has not played in either 22 or 23, and he'll be 30 in October. I would say this is a lottery ticket selection, but he did look not bad on the field catching the football. So that was at least nice to see. It's not like Gage, where he really seems like he's maybe a kind of a tick slow, and now Gage is hurt again. So we're not sure if he'll last with the team. But Miller probably looked a little better physically than I'd say Gage was in. Was running a little better. Take you through the results of one-on-one receiving drills. And I don't always watch this, but this happened to be a fairly competitive day for these drills. The defenders were really trying to knock the ball free. They were trying to be physical as needed to deny completions. This is nonetheless a drill which tremendously favors the offensive player to only have a one-on-one matchup with the quarterback throwing the ball there. Anyway, results. Stevens pulled a ball free from Miller. That was fairly early in the process. Kirkwood then adjusted well versus Stevens to make a catch 10 yards by the right sideline, a ball where Stevens did not obviously find it in the air. Kirkwood adjusted his body, went up and got the football. Walker failed to sell a comeback result Holman was right on it and came back on top of him and knocked the ball loose, which we saw another time from Holman a little bit later. Bump Cooper delivered a PD in coverage of Wade, that's Dayton Wade, 20 yards down the left sideline. So that was one of the longer throws, and it was knocked away cleanly by Cooper, who had a very good practice. Scotty Washington had a catch over Humphrey. That was 30 yards down the right sideline. Always good to beat Marlon, who's having a fantastic camp, probably the best single camp of any player on either side of the football. Scotty Washington beat him on this one anyway. Ryan outmaneuvered JAD for a catch. It was 20 yards down the right sideline. Another case where JAD really didn't have the football radar on, didn't have the ball found in the air. And that made it fairly easy for Ryan to go up high, find the ball, catch it. And JAD was not in a position to put up a fight for it. Cooper had step-for-step coverage of Cunningham on an incomplete pass, 30 yards on the left sideline. Just a continuation of some fine play from him. Holman had his second PD on a comeback route, this time from Aguilar, 10 yards, five circle. Five circle means by the right sideline. So it was another good play by him. Pepe had step-for-step coverage of Zay Flowers down the right sideline, 30 yards that went incomplete. Always nice to see a cornerback able to remain in phase with the receiver, particularly one as sudden as Flowers there. Let's see. Next, I haven't talked about Humphrey. He had a step-for-step coverage of Walker, 30 yards down the right sideline. The ball went incomplete. Walker came up limping after the play. Walker has been physically beaten fairly regularly in this camp. And what I mean is not necessarily in terms of his speed or anything, although he hasn't really shown great separation characteristics. I think that the primary problem is just he's every time he gets hit, he's hitting the ground, he's coming up limping. He's got issues with keeping himself healthy, obviously, throughout this camp. I didn't think there was anything particularly hard about the contact Humphrey put on him. On that particular play, they did go up and contest for the ball a little bit. And then, Walker came down and he came up limping and walked off the field. Didn't walk into the clubhouse as far as I know, because I think he played later in practice, but he did come up limping. Go back to JAD. He had a pass defense in coverage of Kirkwood. That was 35 yards down the right sideline. This time he found the football and knocked it away. So that was a good one. Pepe had a nice comeback pass defense versus Isaiah Washington. So we've heard Pepe's name a couple times already. Anthony Miller outraced Daryl Worley 40 yards down the left sideline. Now, Daryl Worley versus Anthony Miller is a pretty significant speed mismatch. In fact, Daryl Worley is really moving to safety because he doesn't really any longer have the speed to play safety. That's been true, by the way, since the first day he stepped on an NFL field, that people thought he should move to safety from corner. So not really a easy matchup for a player like Worley to stay in phase with Miller all the way down the field. And then Cooper had a pass defense versus Wade with step-by-step coverage, 30 yards down the left sideline. Again, Cooper, just a terrific practice. I'll move on with some notes on the 11-on-11 play in the scrimmage, and it's fairly extensive here, so it's going to take me a little while to get through this. First of all, the defense won again, and I'll give you kind of a sense of this. I got through because it did get close at one point. But Ardarius Washington, who had a great practice, particularly in the 11-on-11 drills, came in off the edge to make a run tackle on Justice Hill. Josh Ross had a pass defense on a pass from Johnson for Cunningham, 5 yards between the hashes, middle of the field kind of stuff. And Josh Ross making a PD there is good to see when your inside linebackers can make a coverage contribution. Chris Collier found the edge with room to spare on a run right. Now, a lot of run drill plays and a lot of run plays, even in 11-on-11, don't really go anywhere. The defense is keyed up, not like they are in run drills. In run drills, they know runs are coming, period. In 11-on-11, they don't know if it's run or pass, but they're still pretty effective at stopping the run, I would say. And the ball gets blown dead pretty quickly on run plays. But Collier found the edge once here. A couple times later, Derrick Henry found the edge twice in a three-play sequence. There's another perp involved that we'll get to. But it's nice to see the running game having some success here, which is more than just, I think maybe he could have, run that guy over in level two since that was the first contact. I mean, we're not just seeing first contact. We're actually seeing some speed. And Collier had a nice run in the preseason game, to pick up an important first down on that 15 play game tying touchdown drive engineered by Leary. But he is not gotten a lot of chances in camp. But I think what I've seen mostly from him is a kind of a decisive desire to stick his nose in where space exists, even if it's not much. And he squirted through some very small holes, but I haven't seen him find the edge too much in camp so far. And this was a good one. Tavius Robinson, great practice today. Had the beginning of his story with a sack of Lamar Jackson off the right edge here. On the very next play, Tavius was in the backfield to tackle Owen Wright for a loss on a run right. So Tavius making his presence felt. He wasn't done for the day with those two either. Malik Cunningham caught a crossing pattern from Devin Leary with Bump Cooper trailing one of the few times Cooper was beaten all day. Zay Flowers appeared to have good yak on a zero-yard throw by the right sideline. It's fine to see Zay Flowers juke somebody out. It's also something I kind of want him to shake is the gadget role. He'll always have an occasional play, maybe one play a game, where they want to use him on a wide receiver screen or they want to get the ball to him with an attempt to find space, or they run him on a jet sweep or whatever it might be. But Zay probably can help this team a lot more getting down the field and taking safeties out of the play so that Derrick Henry and the tight ends can make hay in that middle of the field. So I'd be excited to see him get more deep responsibilities this year as he really had in the second half of 2023. It appeared on the next play, and I'm largely saying this because I saw Kyle Van Noy motioning for the penalty, that Ronnie Stanley held Kyle Van Noy. And Stanley didn't have a really great practice today. He had this event, and he also got pancaked by David Ajabo just a little later. But Kyle Van Noy drawing the holding penalty is also good for Kyle. And you want to see that, and you want to recognize when players are doing good things to draw holding calls, because they're one of the really good ways to get the offense off the field, is put them so far behind the sticks with a holding call that it's very difficult for them to catch up. Emory Jones dropped in a beautiful wheel route pass to Collier where he had Jennings beaten very badly. So I don't like to see the inside linebacker give up on such plays. I'm not sure that he did until the ball was basically in the breadbasket to Collier, but really nice wheel route there. And it's not impossible to see Collier making the practice squad, maybe having a spot sometime later in the year that he could help the Ravens as a elevation or, if attrition occurs, being a guy that they would use instead of going to the street to find a running back. A lot of that's going to depend on how much room they have on their practice squad, but Collier might be a guy you also keep on speed dial because he's not on anybody's roster. So obviously a very small school player from Lock Haven, which I doubt anyone who's within the sound of my voice, unless they looked it up on the UDFA signing day, actually knows where Lock Haven is. But anyway, he had a good run. He caught a wheel route today, and that's nice. What else we have? All right. I mentioned Derrick Henry beating David Ajabo twice. I know I didn't mention the other perp. It's David Ajabo. So David Ajabo, coming back from the ACL tear, is apparently somehow cleared to practice but not cleared to play. Very weird niche there that I would not think would be a long landing strip in terms of what the conditions have to be for that to be true. Because, I think if you can't play, you probably should not be practicing either. He does not look like he's at full speed right now. And if he can't get to the edge to make sure that Derrick Henry doesn't break a run to the outside, even though Henry's fast and he's been more impressive in terms of speed than I expected him to be, it's still not a good look that David Ajabo is getting beaten so easily to the outside on some plays here. So in between those plays with the pancaking of Ronnie Stanley that I talked about earlier, that came on what ended up being a pass completed to Wallace of no particular consequence. All right. Owe flew off the right edge for a run tackle. That was good to see. It was even better on the next play when Owe had a sack. Johnson threw a short pass anyway to Walker. So he I have confirmation that Walker actually returned from that earlier one-on-one injury. But it was a case where Owe, the ball probably should have been blown dead. They're very liberal in allowing the play to continue because you got the sack and you know, people will record it that way anyway. It's still good to let the offense try and run their play and allow another contest of wills between the quarterback, receiver and the coverage player. So anyway, that's what happened on that one. Let me go to the next one. Then Tavius Robinson is back in the notes with his second sack of the day. Johnson threw the ball incomplete out of bounds anyway. So at worst, it's like a pressure. But I think if I watching that play, it was pretty clearly a sack that he got and not just a pressure. Owe then flushed Lamar again from the pocket. He went off on a scramble to one side, I believe the right side. Obviously Owe getting the pressure is a very good thing. On the next play, there was some member of the defense was called for illegal use of hands. And it's almost like they had a separate signal for it by the officials. Now, illegal use of hands is usually either done with a hands to the face on the side of the or just a like the same signal as an illegal contact penalty. But in this case, the referee gave a kind of a choking signal. I assume is an illegal hands to the face or neck area there. It looked like that might have been called on a Ajabo, but I'm not 100% sure of that. I don't want to blame him when I don't know for sure. JAD then had a pass defense in coverage of Isaiah Washington. Isaiah Washington is a name he's been around certainly a lot in camp. This is a little comeback route, and for JAD to be on it that quickly is good. A lot of that's reaction to the receiver, but when he gets a PD ever, he's generally finding the ball in the air. So that was something that we have wanted to see more from him. Ardarius Washington, another fine pass defense by the sideline in coverage of Tylan Wallace. That was from Lamar. He jumped up and was immediately flexing, which is always funny. He's a small guy and he's flexing like crazy, but he's celebrating a lot. And he's really feeling it right now in practice in terms of what's going right. The job has opened up for him at slot corner. If that's where he ends up, I still think that's a pretty good chance. He's played well enough at safety that Daryl Worley, his roster spot is in some jeopardy, I would say. So we'll see how this ends up and what the Ravens decide to keep in terms of defensive back depth. But Washington, assuming he stays healthy, I would think is clearly going to get some playing time when the season begins. Eddie Jackson beat the block of Justice Hill to pressure Lamar as he threw incomplete. So nice pressure from Eddie Jackson. Tavius Robinson, yet another sack. This time, Leary was the QB. He threw anyway to Isaiah Washington for about a 10-yard throw. But again, I think this was probably another sack by Tavius, who had probably one of the biggest days by any player this camp. Humphreys had some big days, and he strung together a number of them. But Tavius Robinson looked really
good. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Great today. And then Holman had step-for-step coverage of Walker, 20 yards, one circle. That means by the left sideline as Leary's pass was out of bounds, incomplete. Holman had one of his best days of camp. Couple PDs, ball overthrown by him. A couple PDs run one-on-one drills. This was a legitimate 11-on-11 opportunity, and he looked quite good today in terms of what he did. Lamar had a run left, which is no big deal, except that he did it off the mesh. I think that actually might have been a run right. My visual memory differs from my note here. So I think it was actually a run right out of the mesh from Derrick Henry. So I think Derrick Henry's kind of faking it to the running to the right. They didn't really go all the way into the mesh point with a pull and whatnot. I haven't seen them try that yet. But this looked good as a dress rehearsal for that first trial, whenever it may be. And at this point, I have to guess it's probably not coming until week one, that we probably will not see it in practice. If we do, I'll be excited, and we'll have something that would be interesting to report on. But we haven't really seen that yet. And last time Monken was at the podium, he commented on that as well. Then we had Kadir Ishmael make a catch, 5 yards, four circle, 5 yards between the numbers and right hash. Despite Bo Braid trying to pry the ball free, kind of a fool's errand there with the relative size of those two players. But Ishmael, very good, very strong hands with the ball after the catch. Then Pepe knocked down a pass in the end zone intended for Ishmael. Another good play by Pepe on what was probably one of his best days of practice as well. Kirkwood then outmaneuvered Stevens in the left corner of the end zone for a touchdown. He went up high. Stevens hadn't yet found the football. Kirkwood makes the catch, and there's not much that Stevens could do about it at that point. Lamar then threw a touchdown to Flowers to close. They're in a red zone drill at this point, by the way, and that closed the gap of scoring to 1 point. And the defense, one of the only times I've ever seen this, called timeout. Now, occasionally you see the offense call a timeout because they're not in good communication about what the play is, and or the quarterback forgets the play, or somebody's not in the right position, and you'll see timeout called. If the defense is not properly positioned to cover a play, they run it anyway. They don't call timeout, generally speaking. But this time, I think they did it because the score on the scoreboard was 7-1. I don't believe that the defense has lost a single practice by the scoreboard count the entire summer. So they were jealously guarding that streak. Lamar did throw a touchdown to likely crossing the end zone with ATS. They didn't post the score from that immediately, but the offense might have pulled ahead by a point, maybe even more than that, for a brief moment. Then Emory Jones came in the game, which is honestly freakily similar to what happened in terms of the game against the Eagles. And he had a very tough 11-on-11 segment that included an incomplete out-of-bounds for Cunningham, with Holman again in coverage, continuing his good day. Pepe Williams picking up a sack unblocked off the right edge. Isaiah Washington made a diving attempt in the end zone with Cooper step for step that went incomplete as well. And when the dust cleared, the defense had won the practice again by about 10 points. It might have been 57-45 that showed up as the final score. But they had closed to within 45-44 anyway on the board before the defense again pulled away on this final Emory Jones series. We always talk about the laps, and a couple of things interesting. So 62 is Tayshaun Manning. He had a false start and ran his lap right away. And it was kind of upsetting because Tayshaun was getting an opportunity with some players he doesn't normally get to play with. He got pulled, of course, because of the false start, and then another guard gets that opportunity in his place. And they're really going to need to see what Tayshaun has before the end of this preseason. He's a guy who's been on the practice squad for an entire year. The Ravens guard situation is thin. They really need effective backups, whether that means practice squad, some sort of manipulation of the injury system, or whatever it may be. Tayshaun Manning could be a very important player to the Ravens this year, a very important backup anyway, but they don't have a really thorough evaluation of him yet. So I'm hoping that in the last preseason game, probably because they'll be having the most players rested, be able to make not only extensive use of him by snap count, but also that he would have some plays designed to test what he can and can't do. So have four or five pulls in there for him to make. You know, we have not had a chance to see tons of pulls from Tayshaun Manning so far. Set him up with some combination blocks where he has to climb to level two and show he can move in space, you know, how decisive he is in space. Various things that are important, maybe giving some tougher one-on-one pass rush assignments where you leave him on an island as a three tech. But you can do a lot of things to try and game plan for that guy to be tested. They usually reduce your chance of winning the football game, but we've seen them make use of these systems in the past to get a good read on Nico Siragusa. I remember one year that was well done, but even on a smaller scale than Siragusa's game, which is about 50 snaps, they might do it over the course of, you know, two targets or, you know, three plays or whatever that you hope to see what a player has, not necessarily under circumstances that are in their favor, but under circumstances that test them, and really try and figure that out. So I think that's coming for Manning, and we'll see how it works out. They had a new kicker / punter in camp, Jack Browning. He took some field goal shots from 45 yards. Horrible knuckleball left was a miss. Second one missed wide left. And the third one, he made it. The team cheered. And I thought that might be the end of practice because of the amount of cheering involved. But I think it was kind of a mock cheering after two misses that they were doing, which is kind of not so great. But it was what it was. And I don't expect Browning, obviously, to make this team. Don't know if he's a guy who would hang around on the practice squad. They did carry Nick Moore for an entire year on the practice squad. So if they can do that, then I suppose it's possible they could keep a punter kicker on the practice squad as well. But they're usually pretty full up with players that they think that can help them. And oftentimes it's not even rookies. It's not even first year players. It can be 6 and 8 year veterans like it was last year. A bunch of guys like Laquan Treadwell on the practice squad last year. And this year, I think that players like Sanat and Tupo are guys who would make sense on the practice squad. Can't probably crack the top five defensive linemen, but there could be guys that if the Ravens happen to hold on to them, they can have somebody if anyone were to get hurt. So definitely think it's possible the Ravens field one of the league's older practice squads yet again. I'm a big proponent of trying to keep developmental players there at positions where the size and shape pool is large. So I don't think it necessarily helps to keep a huge long-armed left tackle on that group. I mean, you'll try, but he may be taken. Same thing for defensive linemen, where the Ravens practice squad is often one of the first wildlife preserves for poaching. Let's say when you're another team and you're down a defensive lineman, well, who do the Ravens have on their practice squad is one of the first questions that's often asked. So I think the places where you can get away with it are at sometimes at cornerback, probably at safety, probably at running back, where you like how this guy fits for you inside linebacker. Other teams don't really have a great idea of who the player is. They may not have even looked at him in their draft process. And so they don't know to come and take your guy. But when the size and shape pool is limited, you're likely to lose that player anyway as talent thins via attrition as the season moves on. All right, let's talk a little bit about the interviews. A few interesting things were said. So Harbaugh, a lot of what he said was about injuries. He talked about Hamilton. He said it looks like a sprain. And they'd have to ramp him back up. But obviously very good news that Hamilton's back on the field today practicing, or not practicing, but running and exercising on the field. Can't tell you what a big deal that is. And they had already reported that they thought the knee was stable and there wasn't any serious tear there yet. He took a while to give some glowing words about both the play and the positional versatility shown by Ardarius Washington so far in camp. And he's been a terrific player. And I would agree that he's probably going to play some of something come the regular season, whether that's slot corner, some play on the back end, maybe some rotational play at either sort of position. Harbaugh said he could play outside corner, get you through a game if you needed to. I think that's probably true. A lot of players would fall into that category. A lot of defensive backs. Anthony Levine did it for the Ravens once, for example. And you know, he wasn't a speed merchant by any sense. And I said he also thought he could move into dime if they needed him there. Well, I mean, it's nice to hear about the dime because you know how I feel about the dime defense. But there's been no indication that they're going to play any dime this year. We just have to see if Trenton Simpson is a guy who needs to be replaced on passing downs. Or, you know, potentially if they had something happen to Roquan, I think the dime would be back on the table for discussion at that point. Now, Tampa, he talked about, and he was asked, you know, do you see Tampa getting in the preseason? He said he would really love for that to happen, but that a ramp-up plan is needed. He wasn't sure he's going to get back in time for the last preseason game. So that's very understandable given the circumstances, and it's just nice to see TJ out there. Lamar Jackson, there was a funny instance towards the end of 11 on 11 when Lamar Jackson ran over, they're in the red zone drill, remember, and now it's the next quarterback. So I don't remember if it was Leary or it was Johnson that was in their segment of it might have been Emory Jones, who was in their segment of plays, but he was showing the tablet to the official in the back of the end zone, probably indicating that, hey, you missed this pass interference call, would be my guess. It's just kind of a comical moment of Lamar running over and doing that. it doesn't really serve a purpose, obviously. It's not going to change anything about the scoreboard, but it was funny to see Lamar do that. And that was just a light moment in practice that we sometimes get. All right, let's move on. Chuck Smith was the next at the podium. Definitely gives you every positive impression as a technician and teacher at the position. So he said a couple of things, and one of them was about Jadeveon Clowney. He said, you know, Jadeveon Clowney had a career year last year, but I was coaching him. And I thought about that first. I think, really? Okay, that was the only reason Jadeveon had a year? He said he didn't mean only that he was coaching him during the season. At least this is my interpretation of it. He meant that he coached him during the off season as a way to improve his pass rush game. And so either way, I mean, it's bold to take that sort of credit. And I don't doubt it's true because he, you know, Jadeveon clearly had his best year of his career, I think, with the Ravens last year. So good question that was raised in this. And it came up in the context of the Ravens basically duplicating their sack total from last year. And the way that other people may say, you know, where's the pass rush going to come from? And his response to it was basically, I don't really care where other people think our pass rush is coming from. We're going to do the best we can every week to get pressure on the quarterback, I think. So it was good, that his responses. The other things that, well, he said two other things. One was that he tries to teach pass rushing to interior offensive linemen. You got to want it, but want it first. And you got to think of yourself as not just a two gap player. You're a guy who needs to penetrate, get to the pass rusher. It's everybody's job. It's not just the outside guy's job. And you need to see yourself in that role as opposed to just thinking yourself as an old time, two gap run stopper, a guy who's controlling passing lanes even. And I'm paraphrasing some of this for him, but he did a very good job of explaining how some of the Ravens interior guys like Urban and Pierce in particular, and Travis Jones would certainly fall into this category, and Broderick Washington improved his pass rushers last year because it was something that he was basically more or less demanding out of them. This is an interesting one also. He talked about trying to teach a one-second rule to interior pass rushers as opposed to a two-second rule for the edge. And I'm sure that doesn't mean exactly two literal seconds or one literal second, but he said, if you can't make your move as an interior lineman within that first second, the offensive lineman is going to have his hands on you. He's going to have you locked up in a way that you're going to have trouble rushing the passer. So you had to make your move very quickly. On the outside, you had more time to do it. You know, that it was really a 2 second rule. I kind of likened it to the difference between hitting the fastball and hitting the curveball in terms of how much time you have to make your swing decision, for example, on those two. So I thought some very interesting technical insight from a guy who clearly knows his craft very well. He's asked about Tavius Robinson. Tavius Robinson was on a lot of people's mind after a big practice. And he said Tavius was a glass eater, as he described it, and he never refused a rep. He worked very hard, always the first in, all the other kind of coach speaky things Tavius clearly has his eye, and I think that's a nice positive. The Ravens need to find another pass rusher. It'd be really great if Tavius Robinson could contribute in that way. And wasn't afraid to mix it up on the run either. He made the comment that he was working hard on his reps, every rep that he was tasked with stopping the run as well. And of course, we know Tavius Robinson and Harrison were the outside edge setters in the Ravens base defense last year for a lot of snaps. And if they want to provide some relief to the pass rushers and get those guys to be more specialists, they probably want that to happen again. All right. Kyle Van Noy, last man at the podium. I asked him about Joe Evans and the very long night he had. He said he's very proud of him. He talked about the Iowa Reets, all the effort that went into that game. And he didn't think his game was perfect by any sense, but he tried very hard. And he was in there for a very long time, and he was proud of him. So it's always good to see that. I asked him in the context of, what do you do to help a player like that when he's having a tough night? And he said his style is to wait for somebody to ask him and not go up to someone who might be having a tough game, get in their head and say, hey, here's what I would do, kind of thing. And the way he said it was not only comical, but it really got the point across that he thought the best way of leadership was leadership by response as opposed to interjection. And I think that there's a lot of value to that, maybe in any field, to do it. Sometimes, if you're managing a department, you can't afford to let that crap happen. Where a guy's failing, you can't afford to let him fail. In this case, Kyle Van Noy can truly afford to let Joe Evans fail. Joe Evans will not necessarily be on the team. He may or may not be on the practice squad. He has a vested interest in him being a good player if he's with the Ravens. But again, I do not believe he's a competitor of Kyle Van Noy, but he is a guy who, it's just want to be respectful of the other person's process. And I think that he did a good job of explaining how he tries to lead more passively than actively. talked about his sack opportunities here in 2023 and you know, his career year, of course. And he said the sack opportunities were better here because he got to play on the ball more and had less in terms of off-ball responsibilities. And Kyle Van Noy was a guy who had 1,400 career pass coverage snaps prior to last year. So that's an awful lot for a guy who plays a traditional OLB edge. You know, even Tyus Bowser was about a 30% dropper. And Kyle Van Noy, I'd expect him to be somewhat less than that. I think he might have dropped to about 11% of the time last year, but I may have that number wrong. But it was in that range of about 10%, not the kind of percentages in the 20s and 30s that we've seen from Kyle Van Noy in the past. So it does explain a fair amount of why his sack total might have been higher despite coming in late. I think he also probably had good first pressure opportunities from other players that helped him out. He also was a very good first pressure guy himself. He looks in extremely good shape. I would say for his age, but I just say for any football player. He really seems ready to go. And he's been one of the guys I've had a lot of respect for, is not playing the practices too hard and too physical when that's unnecessary. I think that's also true of Hamilton and Roquan Smith. And those guys really know how to take care of their teammates. So that's been a good thing. He didn't necessarily finish with this, but he did say it. They thought Chuck Smith was a real draw for this team in terms of getting to play for the Ravens. That having Chuck Smith here was a real positive for the team in order to be able to get some pass rushers who might want to sharpen that edge in terms of their game. Well, that's going to do it. There's only three guys at the podium today, but it certainly was an interesting crew who had some fun things to say. And I don't normally report, as you know, that much on the interviews, but these players all and Harbaugh, of course, today had some interesting things to say, and I thought they were worthy of discussion. That's it for now, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.